on maynard.com.au. Hey, you!
All right, let's get straight to the biscuits.
Last time, it was war. But this time...
I said sit down!
It's personal.
Danger 5 will hunt you down, you mother!
Adolf Hitler is back. All he wants is a date with world domination. But there's 5 things he didn't count on.
Hi, Hitler.
Danger 5 things.
Freeze Hitler!
It can't be. Hitler's dead.
Yes, and Hitler never wore hats.
Hitler does wear hats!
If Danger 5 are gonna kill Hitler, they've gotta get back in business.
I'm not a spy anymore, Claire. Those days are long gone.
And back in time.
We're back in World War II.
What the hell did you put in that time travel cocktail, Pierre?
Mozzarella, you can't go back in time without cheese.
Hello, David Ashby.
Yes.
I'm calling you from Maynard International Studios, which is a chair with a sheet over my head and a laptop.
Hey, Maynard.
I've just got this award-winning intro I just have to read first.
Okay.
There are some TV shows that will change the world, like when Skippy played the drums. That was fantastic. But there are shows that will make you change your clothes, and that show would be... Danger 5. In fact, I have been naked for 2 years waiting for the show to come back. Welcome the co-creator, the director, the man who looks great in lame gladiator outfits. It's Mr. David Ashby.
Wow.
I worked hard on that. I can just see you in the abandoned Mars bar in Hindley Street there with wearing bling. You see the shot of feet going across a floor that's got broken glass on it. And there you are, you're the most powerful man in South Australia.
Thank you, thank you. I hope that the show brings you clothes.
This time you've gone into the 80s. Fill us in on Danger 5, where they were and where you might be going with season 2, just briefly.
For those who haven't seen the first series is about 5 international spies banded together to kill Hitler during World War II, except... World War II, of course, looks like the 1960s. So if you can imagine live-action Thunderbirds, except, you know, it's Hitler. Each episode of the first series, Danger 5 get briefed on a new plan of world domination that Hitler is going through, and they try to stop him, and invariably he escapes by jumping out of a window. And at the end of the first series, spoiler alert... he kind of gets away. Danger 5 Series 2 is set... approximately 18 years later after the first series. This time it looks like the 80s, and our team come back after learning that Hitler is back on the scene and they have to resume their mission to kill him.
You are in the cast there. You play Jackson.
When you make your own TV show, you have to be in it, of course.
You have a great cast. Natasha Ritzik as Ilsa. And there is the absolutely Roger Ramjet-looking Sean James Murphy as Tucker.
How dare you sneak up on me with that willy-nilly improvisational gibberish, Pierre?
Apologies, my friend.
That is a good summation. Absolutely. Well, we cast Sean James Murphy based on his headshot. We actually wrote Tucker without thinking who would play him, and we went through our casting agent, Angela Heason Casting. You know, we looked at, I think, every male headshot in the country at the time in, like, 2010, and we saw Sean James Murphy's headshot, and he looked perfect. We were looking for a guy who would... fit a cigarette commercial of the 60s.
Amanda Simons as Claire, and I love the issues that Claire and the Colonel have between each other.
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic. When we write this stuff, when Daria and I write this stuff, we have no idea what people would find funny or would stick to, and we had no idea that the team's captain, Colonel Chessbridge, who was a guy with an eagle face, sounds sort of like Patrick McGowan.
Yes, he's got Patrick McGowan's blazer from The Prisoner.
Yeah, we had no idea that... fans would love that character and really like the misogynistic undertones that he shares between Claire.
At 0800 hours this morning, the Nazis stole the Eiffel Tower.
The Eiffel Tower? Surely the Nazis have...
Shut up, girl!
He just tells her to shut up without even listening to what she says.
That's correct, and at all times she's pretty much right.
At 0800 hours this morning, an American soldier was eaten by a Nazi dinosaur.
That's a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
No, Claire, that's a Tyrannosaurus Rex. Try thinking first before you open your mouth.
Quite honestly, I forgot when we came up with any of those jokes, as well as the cocktail jokes, which are that Pierre...
There's our first question from the internet. Christopher Laird of Radio Nowhere has asked, will there be more cocktails that he can make while drinking and watching season 2?
There will be a couple more, but without ruining it too much, we have avoided the cocktail recipe gag in the second series. The reason being, it just takes so long. It takes 30 seconds of screen time when we can pack in 4 or 5, maybe 10 jokes in 30 seconds.
Just speaking of what you can pack in 30 seconds, I quickly wrote down what I saw in the last 30 seconds of your teaser for season 2. Let's see. We've got Danger 5. It's the bongo playing, dogs dancing, Nazis in space, pterodactyl riding, quadruple chainsaw wielding, head exploding, dinosaurs with machine guns show that you can't miss.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I remember when we cut that trailer for the first time, I think the montage ran for 2 minutes, and we just found every money shot. That's a good indication on how big the new show is.
I understand that there's been some political issues. I understand SBS had issues with some of the comedy in there, and frankly, so did I. I mean, really, you've gone too far dressing Hitler as Santa.
I know, that was the big one. That was the big one. I mean, quite honestly, we thought that the biggest controversy we'd have with a new show is just people reacting to my head.
And your gold lame gladiator outfit.
Oh, my goodness, that thing.
What have you got like that this time? There must be something outrageous like this that you've squashed yourself into.
Well, here's a little teaser. In one of the episodes, all the team wear Lycra at one stage. So I share the wealth, I share the pain of wearing Lycra with the rest of the team. Yeah, it's good.
I was lucky enough to host the first fan convention that Danger 5 did without you in Sydney at the Vanguard in Newtown.
Ah, yes.
That was a fantastic event for a number of reasons. First of all, because none of the cast knew how people had reacted to it, and they all snuck backstage to watch one of the episodes, and I think it was one of the ones with the pterodactyls doing things they shouldn't have done. And they found an entire audience of 200 people laughing their guts out at the show. That just gave them such a lift, and they realised for the first time what they'd done. People just wanted to know everything about them. You've done a few fan conventions since. What do the fans really get excited about with the crew?
I think the first convention I went to was with Dario, and we went to Supernova Melbourne. That was a buzz.
Did you go in your Man from Atlantis costume like you usually do?
No, I wore like some sort of Cyclops t-shirt.
Because you're a dead ringer for Patrick Duffy and you just got a whack on the Speedos and that's your costume.
Patrick Duffy?
Patrick Duffy, the Man from Atlantis.
When Dari and I went to, you know, Supernova Melbourne, we just did a massive Q&A and they gave us a bunch of microphones. We were just making jokes and we brought some of the puppets made by Bluey Byrne. We bought the dog, Blondie.
You brought Hitler's German Shepherd?
Yeah. It's made out of kangaroo fur.
I love Blondie and the fact that it's usually got a bomb inside it or something. It's great.
That's right.
You and Dario Russo are the co-producer of the whole thing. You're to be congratulated because, as most people should know, it isn't just getting the show on air. You've got to get your financing. You've got to get enough money together that would buy you a single bedroom flat in the middle of Sydney. And then you've got to go and try and spend that to make 7 episodes.
That's right. Well, our biggest hero of the production is our producer, Kate Crozer. She's just amazing and she's one of the best producers, not only in South Australia, but in the country. And we owe her our careers, quite frankly. She has the hard job of liaising with SBS and all the other financiers about our stupid ideas that we want to realise.
Speaking of your stupid ideas, I was reading on Wikipedia, which is never incorrect, that when you put... Yeah, Wikipedia, it's like a public toilet. It's only as good as the last person who was there. I was reading that you had the 3 ideas you were going to put forward. Danger 5 was just one of them. Everyone wants to know, what the fuck was the other two?
Well, the other two were... One was called Gunman, and that was pretty much a blatant ripoff of RoboCop. But then we realised that the Japanese had already did that in the 80s with a TV show called Jaiban. I highly recommend it. It's just a blatant ripoff of RoboCop. We still want to do that. We still want to make Gunman. And then the other one was this show called Brian Cruise Boat, which is about a Hollywood producer who invariably gets into action hero scenarios. Those projects we'd love to realise one day. There's 7 other things we want to do as well.
And it's made in Adelaide. I must stress that this is made in Adelaide.
Everything's made in Adelaide. We shot at the old South Australian Film Corp, which is at Hendon, which resembles a giant asbestos shed.
Were you able to use any props from Storm Boy at all? Was there a pelican lying around?
And Mr. Percival came in.
Cool.
And was an extra. Actually, in the Diamond Girls web series, the prequel web series to the season 1 of Danger 5, the scene with the bank vault, I think that door was taken from the door used in the Bodies in the Barrels. Snowtown. That bank vault is the Snowtown bank vault.
Something that people might not realize is you guys make all the music, and you released this year all the music, and I snapped that up straight away. In fact, I was disappointed I couldn't get a physical CD of. I love the track, The Flaming Swastika. Sounds like it could be out of Dr. Goldfoot and the Gold Bombs. It's a great track.
Dario Russo is the maestro, quite frankly. He's responsible for coming up with all the music, performing all the music, producing all the music, recording all the music. Of course, we have no sound recorders.
Everything is post-dubbed, so if the lips don't quite match up, well, yeah, that's what it's supposed to be like. And I'm looking forward to seeing Hitler play the flamenco guitar while he looks at his yeast device.
Well, that's quite interesting because Carmine Russo, Dario's dad, who also plays Hitler, is a guitar teacher or is a retired guitar teacher now.
So we can actually do the moves.
Yeah, he can shred. Hear him play classical gas is just ridiculous. That sequence is really cool. I think he, what's the song he plays? It's the song from Die Hard.
Ode of Joy, Beethoven.
Sorry. He plays Ode to Joy on guitar, so that's a little spoiler right there. Pretty badass.
What South Australian 70s cars have turned up in this season? Last season you had all sorts of cars. I think you had a Gemini or a P76. Whose cars have you borrowed this time for your chase scenes?
Well, Dario's Chrysler, I think it was a 78.
The really square one, the Hemi or the Charger?
He wants a Charger. That rocked up all over the first series, but this time around, the one car we use is actually an EV Falcon. It's a proxy for the Ford Taurus, the American version. The importance of the Ford Taurus is that is the make of RoboCop's police car, which we pretty much rip off in episode 3 of the new series.
How did Natasha and Amanda feel about having to get those 80s hairdos this time around?
I think they quietly loved it.
Quietly.
I remember the day that Natasha came in especially, and they had this whole Fran Drescher Euro thing going on. And Natasha was a little bit apprehensive. We were a little bit apprehensive on what the look would be. And then we see her, we watch Natasha try this stuff on, and she's just loving it, and we're loving it, and she looks fantastic.
Do we have a return of Sensible Chuckle magazine in season 2?
We have new magazines. That's the thing, man. We wanted to move away from the jokes we made in the first series and make new ones. It was a bit of a risk. In saying that, well, the cocktails do come back, but not as the dying recipes as they were in the first series. Especially in episode 6. Episode 6 is probably my favourite episode, and that's the one where Danger 5 go back in time to World War II.
You need cheese. You need cheese to go back in time. I never knew that. Your show is educational. You have also taught us that Hitler did wear hats.
When we write the show, we actually are quite serious about narrative and trying to make it make sense of it all, when at the end of the day it invariably doesn't make sense. And after we figure out the episode, then we do a pass where we just absolutely make fun of everything. The Hitler wears hats was one of those things, because what Dario and I do is just pretty much act the scripts out to each other and just improvise on top of it, and that was an example of improvisation, hence why it's bottom of the barrel. The tastiest morsels lie.
As I've said, you'll be the 2015 Logie winners between you and Embarrassing Bodies Australia.
Embarrassing Bodies Australia.
You're the only two shows that I bother watching, really. I don't want reality television. I want surreality television.
As do I. Because of the digital age we live in, and I think networks have to sort of compete with content that's on the internet. And, you know, internet content is generally uncensored. It's anything. And I think commercial networks are realizing that, and they're being less conservative with certainly their comedy.
There's two sorts of people. There's the people that don't love Danger 5 yet, and there's the people that love Danger 5. Only two people I've met. I've never met anyone that's actually watched the show and go, oh, gee, that's not very interesting. They will at least go, well, man, that's out there. You at least get attention.
Look, at the end of the day, we're just happy that people find our show, at least watch, you know, 1 second of it. I mean, that's our goal. And it's actually a bonus when people find it funny, because at the end of the day, we don't find it funny. We spend 2.5 years from start to finish with each show, and we have no idea anymore.
Well, you're going to do the rare thing on this season. It's going to be destination TV, because people can't see the first episode unless it's actually on. If you really love the show, you're going to have to put your bum down in front of the TV and watch it on a Sunday night on SBS.
That's right. That's right. Watch SBS. I want the golden days of watching television where 7:30 Saturday, you'd watch Hey Hey It's Saturday, like clockwork.
So the Colonel's your version of Ozzy the Ostrich.
That's right. Oh, hi, Gerald.
Hey Hey It's Saturday, the later years. Oh, how you going? Oh, okay, yeah. Like Paul McDermott says, when you do a show with a puppet and the puppet leaves you, what does that say about you? I think that's interesting. You're obviously a bit more ambitious in season two. What were you shooting when you thought, maybe this is just a bit too ambitious?
Day one, we realised it's too big. When we wrote the second show, we wanted to pull it back from the first series. We thought the first series, we did way too much. We can make it smaller, we can make it simpler. And we tried writing like that, and then invariably became four times as big.
That's where Claire writing the flying pterodactyl came in.
Well, that's actually Holly, the new member of played by Elizabeth Hay, who's an Adelaide actress and, quite frankly, is going to be the biggest star in Australia. She's just a killer actress and she's really funny and the camera loves her. We love her.
A good sense of self-irony.
It's very important, especially in comedy. It's very important to laugh at yourself. You can't do it unless you can make fun of yourself.
You're looking at the 80s this time. What were you looking at? Fast Times at Ridgemont High, the first Revenge of the Nerds. What were you thinking about? Come on, David, I know that you saw Revenge of the Nerds the first time and went, I'm home.
I saw that when I was like 5 years old. My biggest question was, is this the sequel to Something of the Nerds? I didn't know it was a standalone movie when I was a kid. Like the first series, we didn't necessarily do any research in regards to movies of the 80s. We just took from, you know, our knowledge of 80s movies and what we grew up on. Our show isn't necessarily a parody or a spoof. It's more of a pastiche. Our goal is to have the mentality of, if we were to make a show in the 80s, this would be it. We don't necessarily have Hitler as the Terminator or anything like that. We just think of devices and visuals that sort of evoke nostalgia in watching those movies and TV shows.
What about the incidental music you've done this time? Has it been distinctly 80s like the other one was distinctly 60s?
A lot of synth. So much synth. Power ballads, even like weird shit. I saw my baby crying hard as babe could cry. What could I do? My baby's love had gone and left my baby blue. Nobody knew. It's
going to really have that Crocker and Tub sound, is it?
Yeah, absolutely. Miami Vice was a massive influence.
On that, Sheila Easton, Adam Ant.
That's right, yeah. We also do what we did last time with the first series is we sort of theme the score for each episode, and so with episode four it's more of a, you know, Italo disco sort of vibe mixed with Italian progressive rock.
There's a lot of important people on the set, but who is the cleaner that has to clean up all the blood and guts and gore when those explosive packs go off and you're finished for the day?
I have to shout out to Leif Keogh. He is our standby. Not only do all the blood squirts to the face and all that sort of stuff, but he also has to clean it up at the end of every shot and reset it. It was on the first series as well. His main job was to refill all the cocktails and update everybody's cigarette.
When I did the first convention with the guys there in Newtown, they said that at the end of the show they could buy that you were selling bits of the set and costumes to the actors. Did you do this again this time?
Well, yeah, this time around, actually, this is a good point to bring it up. We actually kept all the hero props that didn't get destroyed in making of the show. What we plan to do is sell them to the public after the show airs. I'm in the process of making more artwork for T-shirts and that sort of stuff. The DVD is also coming out probably in the middle of this, probably in February.
Travis Roy in New Hampshire in the US wants to know when he can see season two in the US.
Can't really say, but it will be soon.
Have you done a US convention?
No.
Because I have seen American fans dressed as Danger 5 at some of the at Comic-Con. It's amazing.
It's super strange. It's cool. Even seen people in Australia do zombie versions of Danger 5, which is really cool. It's great that people react to the show like this because at the end of the day, you have no idea. And
you will get hate mail like you usually do, but I guess with the SBS, you don't have to really reply to it the way you do with the ABC.
No, it's great. SBS are a great buffer.
They really are. Has the show been delayed for release because of some issues the SBS had with some of the material, or is that just a nasty rumour getting around to get you more press?
No. We wrote the show, two and a half years ago, and we had no idea that some of the content in the show would echo some of the things that are happening in the real world. It would have been a bad time to release the show because some people would have put two and two together and it would have been insulting to victims and all that sort of stuff. Safe for SBS to sort of delay the release. You know, we knew the show would come out eventually. At the end of the day, we just want people to see the show.
Well, you can imagine how the creators of Archer feel, because the organization that Archer works for in that cartoon show is called ISIS.
There's a terrible terrorist organization advancing on Baghdad that shares the same name as the secret agency in this really funny show. So how do you handle that if you're the makers of that show? Well, what they're doing is they went back after they made some of the episodes and retroactively painted out ISIS logos in the parts of the show. So they're not going to mention anything about it. They just went back and they inserted in the opening scene of the sixth season someone rolling up an ISIS logo and carrying it off in the background.
You have no way of picking it.
Can we see the cast in Australia together anywhere? Are they doing anything?
Oh boy, that's hard. Like the characters, we're all over the place. Natasha and I and Lizzie as well all live in Adelaide, and Bichari Mazembe, the new Pierre, he lives in Brisbane, and Sean James Murphy and Amanda Simons live in Los Angeles.
Isn't Sean the nicest guy, considering the industry he's in? He can become so jaded and everything, but he just seems to be really just nice. Yeah.
He's ridiculously nice. The guy seems super charismatic. He makes me laugh. It's bullshit.
Can you tell us what your favourite scene is in the season two? Is there one scene you could pick out that won't give away too much that we can keep looking out for on a Sunday night on SBS?
The toy commercials.
Look out for the toy commercials. In season one, please, look at the gold lame gladiator outfit. It's stunning. Natasha doesn't quite make it work, but you make it work, David.
Oh, thank you. I got nothing to say about that.
I think we'll go out with some Danger 5 music from season one. Is there something you'd like to pick?
It's all good. Actually, it's on iTunes. If people buy enough of it, we'll do a vinyl release. The second series soundtrack will come out after the show airs. Late February. Look out for that.
Thank you, David Ashby, future 2015 Logie winner, the most powerful man in South Australia, and co-creator with Dario Russo of Danger 5 Season 2, SBS Sunday Nights. Watch it or just stay naked the rest of your life.
Yes, you bastards.
In time without cheese
on maynard.com.au.
Hey, you.